You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. When I talk to women about why they want to start a private practice, one of the most common reasons is to have flexibility. As a mom, I need to be able to cancel appointments or work at times that are best for me because things come up with my kids all the time, like stomach viruses, hand, foot, mouth disease, ear infections, just some of the few things we've had recently. You know, kids get sick all the time and I need that flexibility. And I know so many of you need that as well. Having a private practice where you can work when it's best for you is so empowering. But what if there's a major medical situation that comes up? And what if it is your own health that's impacted? What if you're the one who is sick or injured? How does that change how you work in your practice? How does it change how you structure your practice? Well, we're going to be exploring just that in today's episode with my guest, Noreen Vanderhoeven. Noreen is a licensed clinical social worker with over 37 years of experience working with adolescents, adults, and families. She is certified in EMDR therapy and is also an approved EMDR consultant. Noreen's areas of expertise are complex trauma, suicide, suicide loss survivors, EMDR intensives for CEOs and high-level executives, and consultation for therapists. Noreen is also the founder and owner of Westlake Trauma and Resilience. They provide EMDR therapy and intensive EMDR therapy. She is licensed in California and Nevada. Most recently, Noreen has developed the Craftswork Collective and Mental Health Merch. Both are companies that develop digital downloads and creative crafts for both therapists and the general public. Noreen, welcome to today's show.
Thanks, Ashley. It's great to be here.
I was looking back and it's been a little while since we last met. And listeners of this show know that I usually ask first time guests, how did you get into this world of therapy? But you're a second time guest. So if you want to hear Noreen's background of how she became a therapist and our amazing conversation around burnout, you can go back and listen to episode 48. But today, Noreen, you know, we're going to be having, I think, a really important conversation that we don't always think about in our work and being in private practice and being a business owner. And that's around our own kind of medical health, our own kind of situations that can impact our practice. I know you, the last month, several months, couple years really, have had a variety of different health things go on. So I don't know kind of where you want to start, you know, what you feel comfortable kind of sharing about everything that you've gone through.
So I think it was back in 2020 when kind of my medical stuff really escalated. And I had pneumonia, and then I had some other health things come up. And I was out of work for almost 4 months. And at that time, I had three employees. And thankfully, one of them had been with me for a couple of years already. So she really kind of took things over and ran the business for me, which was awesome. This time, when I had my mental health, trauma. My medical emergency that happened, which I'll tell you in a minute. I don't have any employees right now because they got licensed and left. And I decided, like, right now, I just need to focus on deciding, like, what I was wanting to do and build the intensives. And so I went to Virginia to assist in an EMDR training. And the first day I was there, that next morning, I actually fell out of bed, which sounds so stupid. I was so embarrassed, but my foot got caught in the sheet. And so I fell, and I thought I fell on my hip, and I'm like, oh, I just bruised my hip, whatever. And I went on with life. And as the, you know, a couple of days went on, it got so bad to the point, it was so painful, I couldn't even walk. So I tried to get out of a chair and I couldn't. So one of my friends there who lives there took me to the emergency room. I barely kind of remember most of this because as soon as I got there, they drugged me up because I was in such pain. And they're like, you didn't fall on your hip. You had a bilateral fracture of your sacrum, which is like in the back where your pelvis starts and what holds your pelvis together. I'm like, oh, geez. And so for a couple of reasons, they had to wait. This was a Thursday until Monday to repair it. So luckily, my son lives there in Virginia. And so he came to be with me. My husband got there a couple of days later because he's like, nothing is simple. And so I'm coming, even though you're telling me you'll be home in a few days after. And thank God he did come. I ended up developing pneumonia, which turned into triple pneumonia.
Oh my gosh.
And they put me on a ventilator. That's like the short story of it.
Yeah.
So I was on this ventilator for 8 days and they really did not think I was going to survive. They told my husband right after they put me on the ventilator, call your other kids to come because we don't think she's going to make it through the night. Wow. Which hearing it to me is just so foreign because I... Yeah. was in this like medical coma. I slept through it. So, you know, so I ended up being in the hospital for another month. I also had to go through rehab there for my back. They wouldn't let me fly home. And now it's been that I got injured the end of June. I got home the beginning of August, and that takes us to now. And while I was gone, I thought, well, if I ever had an emergency, I was set in a sense, not financially, but to cover my practice. I had a professional will with someone I used to share an office with. The only problem was I never told my husband. So like he didn't even know to call her. And so that was lesson one is I needed to provide him all that information. And luckily he had my phone. And he was able to figure things out. And one of my kids was able to understand my cryptic, you know, passwords and all that other stuff. So all together, they were able to do that. And, you know, I pay all the bills and everything. And even at home, I do. And so that was a thing that they then, you know, had to figure out. So it was like a lot of really, you know, daily tasks and life things that kind of we didn't want to go by the wayside. And I have two people that rent space in my office. So my husband was in contact with them. To complicate things, I was about to host an EMDR cruise, an Alaskan cruise at the end of August. And obviously that didn't happen for me, but it still happened. I had two speakers and one of the speakers, who's one of my friends, she took everything over. And she was in, you know, contact with my husband all the time, and he was giving her the information she needed. And the cruise went off without a hitch, which was great. So I, you know, I think out of all of this, like I learned a lot of things, and they were in contact with my clients. And is thankfully these intensives are most of the time short term. Sometimes I end up going a bit longer with clients because, you know, sometimes clients can't get things done in 12 hours if it's complex, you know.
Sure.
If it's a one-time trauma, great. 12 hours and you're pretty much done. But most of the time it carries over. But thankfully, I didn't have a practice with, I know some people who see 30, 35 clients. Mine is usually about 15.
Okay. That's in a week.
Yeah, in a week. And sometimes, like right now, I'm at 9, I think, maybe 10, which is great because I don't have the stamina to still sit for, you know, 8 hours a day straight. And so it's good. I schedule usually a couple clients a day and that's it.
Well, and I was going to ask, like, those who do intensives, you know, it looks different, right? And I think that's one of the beautiful things with private practice is we can all create something that's different and it works for us. So for you, how do you typically structure like your schedule and intensives?
So, you know, it's so interesting because it's really changed since I started. I started intensives in 2020 after I got back from being sick. And it just so happened, it fell in my lap. I had a client call and she was only available for a certain amount of time. And I'm like, great, this is a perfect time to start it. So I did. So in the beginning, I saw clients for an hour and a half intake, and then three-hour sessions, which were every other day, and then an hour and a half follow-up to kind of, you know, wrap everything up and see where we needed to go. And then if I needed to see them after, it would be two-hour sessions. And as I've been doing it, some of my clients cannot tolerate 3 hours.
It's too long for them.
It's just too long. Even though we would take a break after an hour and 15 minutes, usually, they just couldn't do it. And I saw, like, after the first session, when they would come back 2 days later, it was too overwhelming for them. So we really cut it down to 2 hours. I know some of my colleagues do half day, 4 hours, and some do 6 or 8 hours. I don't even know how they're doing it themselves, you know, aside from the client tolerating it. But I've really found now that 2 hour sessions are wonderful, and we don't take a break. We go straight through 2 hours, and usually by hour and a half, they're like, I'm spent. I'm exhausted. Because EMDR, you know, your brain processes faster than your mouth can speak, right? And so there's a lot going on and it's exhausting. They all tell me, you know, when they come back after, I had to go home and take a nap for a couple hours. I'm like, So now I just kind of preface that and let them know that to expect to be tired. And if you have to take a nap, then, you know, definitely do that. But I think the 2 hours is working good for me and it's definitely working much better for my clients.
Yeah.
And so it's still 12 hours. It's like a 12 hour pack.
Yeah. And for you, like what, I mean, you talked about, you mentioned, you know, I was seeing up to 15 now, like I'm right at 9 again, like your own stamina. And I'm curious, like for you coming back, what has that been like? Cause I mean, even like 2 hours for a therapist is a lot, right? Like we all, you know, we talk about it as therapists that, you know, I'm exhausted at the end of the day and people are like, oh, what do? You just sit and talk to people all the time. But we're holding space for really intense stuff. We're having to tune in to all these things. And so I'm really curious for you coming back from, I mean, I've never been in a medically induced coma, but I can only imagine that like, it's not like you're coming back like, ooh, that was a nice sleep. Like how has this been for you kind of like reintegrating back into your work and finding like that stamina for yourself?
You know, it's so interesting because I have this resilience that I kind of don't understand really. And so I came back, we got home August 1st. And that following week, I started physical therapy right away. And I started with just 1 hour sessions because I just couldn't sit that long. And then after like a week or 2 weeks, I went to the 2 hour sessions. And at the same time, I was in therapy processing. I still am processing all this. And, you know, memories continue to surface. And my therapist at the time was in constant contact with my husband. So she knows kind of more than I do. And when I start to remember something, I'll go, is that true? Like, do you know if that really happened? She'll go, yeah, it did, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me, you know? So it's like being able to process my own trauma and then kind of put that aside to be able to then hold space for my clients. Which is why I really only see a maximum of two clients a day. I have a couple of like my older clients before I even started intensives that are an hour, hour and a half. So they're kind of put into those slots too. But I just know for me, I have to have at least a half hour, if not an hour between clients, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, like you mentioned, and I, you know, would love to get your take on it, professional will. We'll get back to that in just a second. But, you know, talking about like your clients had to be notified. And obviously, if somebody was working with you before all of this happened, they were doing like 2 or 3 hour sessions, but now you're coming back and saying, I can only do one. I know sometimes, you know, therapists have a, I don't know if a struggle is the right word, or like we contemplate, like, how much do I share with my clients of like what has gone on with me, you know, and why I took time off, whether it was a death in the family or my own health. How did you communicate with clients of like, hey, I'm back, or like this is going to be shifting and changing? Like, did you kind of share with them with what's been going on, or how did you kind of communicate all of this?
Yeah, you know, originally, so I have an assistant who's amazing, and I love her to death. She's been like, she was the glue that kind of held everything together while I was gone. Yeah. And she was in contact with all my clients, and she just said, you know, Noreen had an emergency that she's had to be out. And then a couple of my clients kept pressing her because they know, you know, that's just not like Noreen, you know, not texting at all. And I didn't have my phone after I woke up for like a good week or week and a half. First of all, it's kind of crazy that, you know, being on, it was like you're on life support, really, right? And waking up and then thinking that you're just, your body's going to be the way your body was. Well, like I couldn't even hold a spoon. That was, you know, when I woke up and I saw that the ventilator, and I wanted to tell the nurse something. I don't even remember what it was, like benign. And so I just kept like using my hand and pretending I was writing, like to tell her, give me a paper and pen. And she didn't understand what I was saying. But in the end, like, had she given me a paper and pen, I couldn't have written anyhow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, if you think about it, you don't use any of your muscles for all of these times that you have to recondition them.
Yeah.
It was, that was kind of an experience in itself. But so finally my clients started, and she, they just said, you know what? She had a medical emergency. She fractured, you know, her pelvis. And because I told her to tell them, you know, something. And, but she's okay. And she'll be coming back mid-August. And one of my clients just knew that that wasn't right. And she was getting, you know, really upset. And so when I got back, I emailed her and I said, look, this is what happened. I'm being really transparent. And she's like, I knew something happened. I knew, I just knew it was not, you know, just that. And so, you know, I think that it was good to be transparent with them. Some of them I told I was on, you know, a ventilator because they still couldn't figure out like why I wasn't returning their calls or, you know, texting them. And some I didn't. Some I didn't feel could, you know, hold that information and be okay with it. But they were really grateful that I was transparent. And I think that that definitely helped. And it helped them also to see that I could have some kind of trauma and come back and be okay and, you know, move through this. And, you know, I think that because some of my, you know, a few of my clients are like, well, I'm never going to get better. And I'm just always so anxious or I'm depressed. And, you know, life just isn't going to be the same. And I'm now they could see a difference.
Yeah, like that it is possible, right? That, that you're able to model that for them. Well, I think I love the approach of what you were talking about in like disclosing with clients. I'm, you know, I definitely think, you know, some level of disclosure is appropriate with clients. You know, I know there's, you know, we've been taught the blank slate and I don't really believe that.
No, I don't believe
but
that
I think identifying what clients can tolerate some of this information and those that may not, you know, sounds like one of your clients had a sense more was going on, and it probably was important for them and in your therapeutic work with them for them to have a little bit more of that information. And like you said, there's others that may not have been able to tolerate that. You know, I work with a lot of women who take maternity leave, and, you know, there's always the question around like, what do I disclose if I'm pregnant, or what do I disclose, you know, after I have the baby? And I think, again, I don't think it has to be like a one size fits all of what you're disclosing.
Yeah.
But like, what can a client hold? You know, there, it's not that they're, you're asking them to hold space for you in like a therapeutic way, but like, what can they tolerate with whatever it is that they're going through or have been through in their own experiences, but trusting yeah. that they are human. We are human too. It is okay that they like want to show that compassion.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely.
Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly, so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. So talk a little bit about, you know, and I know that's not like the whole point of this episode, but just a little bit about professional wills, because I think it's something that we're definitely not taught that in grad school. We're definitely not always taught that, you know, in setting up a business. But I think this is like a perfect example of why we need them. So can you just share a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So a professional will is, you know, if someone like, for instance, me, had this medical emergency or some kind of emergency that they are not able to, you know, function in their practice, you have another colleague be able to take everything over. So they would take over your clients for the time being. They would make any phone calls that need to be made. You know, they would make sure that your practice continues to run and, you know, function. And so had this worked the way it should have worked, is my husband would have contacted the, you know, other therapist that I have, who's, you know, the other part of my professional will. And she would have been able to see whatever clients or provide referrals, you know, appropriately. And You know, as it was, thankfully, my assistant knew some of the therapists who I do refer to. And so she was able to, you know, put an away message, and she was mm-hmm. able to, when they called, able to give them, you know, a couple of referrals to go to. And interestingly enough, none of my clients wanted to see anybody else.
Yeah.
Except I had one client who did, who said that she was going to come back to me after when I came back. And I said, you know, okay, you know, whatever it is, it whatever's good for you.
Yeah.
And she stayed with that other therapist because the other therapist took her insurance. And now for whatever reason, she just texted me and said, okay, you know, I can come back. And I know part of it, she told me, was, you know, monetary, because I'm only private pay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, that made a huge difference for her. But I yeah. think that was, you know, she came back when the time was good for her.
Well, and I think that's also another really interesting point, because I, you know, I see this a lot of times with therapists, whether it is, I feel like I'm needing to take time off because of family needs or my own mental health, right? Like you joked yeah. at the beginning, like, oh, you know, my mental health, but like, yeah, like stuff like this absolutely impacts your mental health.
For sure.
Or if you're just like, you know, you've gone through a lot. I know we have a lot of colleagues that have just gone through, you know, several months ago, everything with the hurricane in, you know, Western North Carolina, and like yeah. that impacted a ton of people. And that, like, it is okay to take that time off. And I think what you're describing has been my experience when I've had to take time off for maternity leave, is that the majority of the time your clients will come back. And I think that that is such a worry for a lot of people of like, if I take time away from my practice, whether it is just, I need a break, I'm going on vacation, I have a medical emergency, my family needs me, there's been a death, what's going to happen with my clients? And I think a reminder that like our clients are resilient, and that if they have a therapeutic relationship with you, and as long as you're open to working with them again, like majority of the time they will either wait for you or they will come back.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, I think even had this, you know, my other colleague in with my professional will seen my clients, I think it probably would have been the same outcome. I just think it would have been a little smoother and taken some of the stress
sure.
off of, you know, my assistant and
sure.
my husband and,
sure.
You know, and my two colleagues who are in my office also are both trained in EMDR. And so they had offered to see them. And
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I had a lot of support, which I knew I did, but it was amazing to me how much support I really had.
Yeah, yeah. I know as part of this process of coming back from all of this, you know, medical trauma, really. I mean, that's what you've been through. There's like this other creative side of you that you've been kind of tapping into and kind of creating some products and that kind of thing. Share a little bit about what it is that you've been doing.
So about a year ago, I got, do you know what a Cricut is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a crafting machine where it cuts things out, right? And so I got a Cricut. And so I started also making tumblers and mugs and t-shirts, like all these things. And then I just started recently, I made, you know, those sequin pillows?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I made this sequin pillow with a butterfly under it with like these really vibrant colors. It was so incredible. So I started doing this, and I started, you know, giving some of it to like a lot of my therapist friends, and they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, you should do this for a business. I'm like, I'm not doing this for a business. And then once I started thinking about it, I thought, why wouldn't I, you know, someone, and so I found this course. It just, I swear, I think things happen for a reason sometimes.
Yeah.
And this course just like popped up on Facebook on crafting. And so I'm like, wow, okay, well, I'm going to take this course. And some of these people in these groups that I'm in now, like they market even to high school parent associations, you know, for sports and for dance and music. And yeah. they do all of their branding, all of their merchandise and everything else. And so I was going to go that direction. And then, which I'll still do, like if anyone asks, but I'm not going to necessarily market to that.
Sure.
But I decided to market to therapists because we all need, you know, we all give holiday gifts or we all do stuff for yeah. our clients or, you know, I have like these little round gel packs that, you know, have those little beads in them that
yeah.
I use for my clients to help them with anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I thought, God, like, that's what I should do. And it came out of when I was away this weekend with my friends, there were four of us and we each had like a hot seat moment. And, you know, that's what came out of my hot seat. It's not what I went in with, but one of my friends is, you should do therapists. Like I buy, you know, the tumblers all the time for my staff. She has like 30 or 40 staff. She said, and you know, once a year we do t-shirts. And one of the other therapists is like, I'm always doing stickers and I just bought some from Amazon. I would have bought them from you. And so one of my other friends was like, she's brilliant and very, you know, she could put words together and create content. And she's like, okay, let's do this. And let's, so I did a whole new website for it, which hasn't come online yet because Squarespace hasn't connected it. But hopefully in the next couple of days, it'll pop up. It's called Mental Health Merch.
And it'll definitely be live by the time this episode goes live.
Yes, it will be. And so that's what I'm doing. It's like, it's just all mental health stuff and even mental health stuff for, you know, clients or the general public who want, you know, things that. So it's exciting and I like doing it. And it's, first of all, it's a very mindful thing because you have to pay 100% attention to what you're doing or you will screw up, which I've done a few times. I've printed things backwards because I wasn't paying attention. So it's good because it's so mindful, you know, and it's just, for me, it's relaxing and I don't have to, you know, deal with trauma all the time then.
Well, and I think for myself, as I've, you know, done other things outside of therapy, I find that it flexes this like other part of my brain, this creative piece that, like I was telling you at the beginning, like I don't consider myself an artistic person. Like I'm not artistic, but I like to create.
And I,
there's something about that, that like in our work as therapists, we can be creative to an extent, right? Yeah. But like we are not like conducting the therapy. We are not the one creating this like transformation. The client is. And so there's limits, right? There's boundaries within which we can work. But then when I think, and I hear this so many times from other therapists when they start kind of a side hustle or something outside of the therapy room, that again, it's just, oh, I'm tapping into this other part of myself that I didn't know I was missing or that I didn't know that I needed to. And it sounds like that's probably like one of the things with this for you. It's like connecting to this other part of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, even the stuff like for, I mean, it could be for therapists or for just general people is like, I've done a couple eBooks like on mindfulness and some on gratitude and, you know, so those are things that anyone could use, you know, and then there are some things that are just for therapists that, you know, some like infographics and downloads to that and, you know. So I'm awesome. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Well, tell us again the name of the website and we'll have it in the show notes. But for listeners, what's the name of the website again?
The website is mentalhealthmerch.store.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we will have that definitely in the show notes. Noreen, if you wanted to leave listeners with one thing to just kind of consider, you know, if they found themselves in a situation where whether it's their own health or a close family member that they're having to take some significant time off to deal with health and balance of practice, like what is something that you think, you know, listeners should take away in kind of thinking about that?
You know, I think this idea of a professional will is so critical because that could help your practice run you know, so much smoother when you are gone or when you can't be there and there's another professional that can, you know, and that knows you. Like this, the person I used to share the office with, she knows me inside and out. So she knows the kind of clients that I see, and she also does EMDR.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, finding someone who's similar in what you do to be able to have your clients still feel, you know, cared for and taken care of.
Yeah. Well, and I just to reiterate that yes, that is so important to be able to know that your business will be taken care of, or at least there's somebody, again, to just let your clients know she will get back to you.
Yeah.
She cannot right now. I think it's so important. Well, Noreen, I really appreciate you taking the time to share, you know, this, your story with listeners and everything you've gone through. I think this is so important for us to remember and get some of those things in place if we don't have them in place yet. So thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.